I would like to bring my testimony to you in the form of three questions. And we're going to turn to three passages of scripture. And my three questions tonight will be, why must I be saved? How can I be saved? And when can I be saved? So just the first verse we're going to look at is in Romans chapter 3. Romans chapter 3 and verse 23. Why must I be saved? For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Just that verse. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Now, as a young man, I was brought up in a Christian home, and I can remember way, way back from my Sunday school days, starting to go to Sunday school, and it was in fact before I even went to day school. And then I started going to day school, and of course, because of the problems of getting into schools in Cape Town in South Africa in those days, you had to enroll quite a long time before actually getting into a particular school. And if you had your eye on a certain school, which I did, because a certain relative of mine taught at this particular school, it was very difficult. So I find myself, unlike the rest of the family, the only one starting my school days in the Roman Catholic school. So from the days of, kindergarten to primary school, I spent my schooling days in the Roman Catholic school. And I must say that at that same time, of course, I was going to Sunday school elsewhere and going to gospel meetings and attending various other meetings. But during that period of time that I spent in the school, I seem to have been well liked by the nuns, and they seemed to just cart me around everywhere where they went. So I found myself in the church, and I found myself learning the Latin. Credo in umnum dominum, bone volum tatus, laudare muste, glorifica muste, that was the creed. And then of course some other Latin, which I won't bring to you now. But I had that upbringing in the Roman Catholic Church, and I had a very good education there, I must say, very strict. And those nuns, they were very severe with the cane. But I must praise God that at that same time, going to the Sunday school, morning Sunday school, afternoon Sunday school, I learned a lot about the Word of God from a young age. And I learned about salvation. I learned about the Lord Jesus Christ. And many things that I had perhaps been taught in the Roman Catholic school, I was able at that time to weigh them up and to say to myself, well, be able to ascertain exactly where I stood. I found that as I was going to Sunday school, I tried to go to as many Sunday school classes as I could, you know, because I'd loved going to the picnic. So I went to the Brethren Sunday School, and I went to the Anglican Sunday School, I went to the Salvation Army, and one other. So I was eligible to attend the Sunday School picnic, you see, and I did all that. But I heard the message of the Gospel, I heard of God's love. But it was probably around the age of about 12, 13, 14 that the Lord started speaking to me. And I was then attending open air services. Stood around in the circle in the afternoon, went to the gospel meeting Sunday after Sunday, went to cottage meetings during the week. But you know, dear friends, all of that, listening to these messages, listening to the message of the gospel, learning all these verses from the Bible, I knew many of them off by heart, didn't make me a Christian. And it didn't give me inside peace or satisfaction, because I knew that at that point in time, I really had not trusted the Lord Jesus Christ as my Savior. Why must I be saved? for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And I was a sinner, and attending all those Sunday school classes and all those meetings did not make me a saved person. As I grew up, of course, coming to the age of about 15 now, I was still in Sunday school. But I remember one day I decided, well, I'm getting a bit old for Sunday school now, you know. Well, I think I must try and get out of this somehow or other. So I decided one day I wasn't going. And my mum and dad were out visiting. So I said to my sister, well, look, I'm not going to Sunday school today. But you know something? I'm sure that my teacher's going to call around at just after 4 p.m. and find out where I've been. He was a real Sunday school teacher. If you weren't there, he came looking for you. So anyway, on that particular day, there was a knock on the door just about after 4, and I knew exactly who it was. And I said to my sister, well, you don't tell on me. You tell on me, I'll tell on you. So I disappeared into the back area of the backyard and hid myself. Anyway, when I thought the time was right, I came out and I said, well, who was it? And she said, oh yeah, it was your Sunday school teacher, all right. Wanted to know where you were. Anyway, I didn't have to say anything. She didn't have to say anything. Because, you know, it was from that time on that the Lord really started speaking to my heart. The following week, I went back to Sunday school and I thought that, well, I'm really in for a caning now. He's probably going to ask me where I've been the previous week. He didn't say a word. And if you remember our brother Ramsey Cranner, who came here one evening and played the organ and had the meeting here from Canada, it was his brother that was my Sunday school teacher. And well, he didn't say a word. He just brought us the lesson. And I went away somehow disappointed. Oh, he didn't get stuck into me or anything. He didn't say a word. But little did I know that it was the Spirit of God working within my heart, convicting me of my need of the Lord Jesus Christ as my Savior. But still, I went home that afternoon, and or should I say that evening, when my parents came home. I said to them, now, I don't think I want to go to Sunday school any longer. I'll continue going to the evening meeting a bit more regularly, and if I can sort of stay away from Sunday school. Well, my parents said to me, you go to Sunday school and you'll go to the evening meeting. And that was the end of that. So, of course, I had to still attend all the meetings. And I was glad, of course, that I did. As I attended those meetings, I started attending even more meetings in the suburb of Weinberg, where our brother Dudley comes from. And with a few of the young people there, I attended going to hospital services, standing around the bedsides of those who were sick and handing out a tract or a leaflet, telling them of the love of our Lord Jesus Christ. But of course, I myself wasn't saved. I was just one of the people in the circle, standing by. But a brother came to me as I was standing on the staircase of the hospital one afternoon. And in fact, this brother, he's living on the Central Coast, and he's coming to have tea with me on Saturday. He came to me on the staircase of this hospital, and he said to me, George, are you saved? This brother's married to a cousin of mine. He said to me, George, are you saved? Well, I didn't answer him, but he left it at that, and the Lord started speaking to my heart. Are you saved? I continued going to the meetings, and at the end of that year, I finished school. I must say, I went from the Roman Catholic school, finished primary school there, and then I went to the Methodist school, and then I finished up at the Wesleyan Training College, where I wanted to be in the first place. And I spent my last years of school there. But the Lord was, I think he had a reason for me going to school in that way, because I remember when I moved into my first home, my very next door neighbors were the parents of children who went to the Sunday school to the Roman Catholic school with me. And I was able to converse with their parents on both subjects. But I continued going to these meetings, and the Lord was speaking to my heart, but I made no response whatsoever. I thought everything was okay, but I hadn't trusted the Lord Jesus Christ as my Savior. And then I started work in 1954. I thought, oh well, now I'm getting away from home. I had to travel about 20 kilometers into the city on my bicycle, my first job. And when I started there, I went in and got acquainted with everybody, and I was told what to do. And it was about lunchtime, I think, of that very same day, when I came from lunch and got into the lift, and there was the lift driver. He was the handyman of the building, but he also took time off to drive three of the lifts that we had. And as I walked into the lift, he said to me, "Are you saved?" And I thought, oh my, I'd come all the way from home and all the way into the town to have a job and all that sort of thing, and here this man's asking me, am I saved? And it's wonderful how the Lord works, convicting us of sin and of His love for us and of our salvation. And of course I began to think about it. I didn't give him much of an answer, but I just kept going. I continued going to these meetings then in Weinberg, and then one evening we had an elderly brother. I think he must have been about 70, between 70 and 80, a brother, Hugh Vine. I don't know if anybody will know him. And he read from the book of Daniel. I can't remember much of the message, because the thing that struck me most as I sat at the back of the hall, right at the very back, I was going to get out first that night, you see. So I sat right at the very back. And the thing that struck me most was that he read from the book of Daniel, but he had the Bible open, but he never looked at it. He just read it all off by heart. And that sort of, you know, gripped me a bit. And so in that first verse we read, why must I be saved? For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And now the question has started to bother me. I had to be saved because I knew I was a sinner. My parents being Christians didn't help. My members of my family being Christians didn't help. I myself personally had to put my faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. And on that night, our brother Vine turned to his text, which we'll turn to next, in Romans chapter 10. Romans chapter 10. How can I be saved? Romans chapter 10 and verse 9. We'll read from verse 8. But what saith it? The word is near thee, even in thy mouth and in thy heart. That is the word of faith which we preach. That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. How can I be saved? If thou shalt confess with thy mouth Jesus is Lord, and believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. And then I'll read verse 10. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. And you know, dear friends, that night in the meeting, although my intention was to slip out first, when the meeting was over, the Lord Jesus Christ started speaking to my heart, and I got the message quite clear and plain that night as to how I could be saved. The Lord Jesus Christ died on Calvary's cross for your sin and mine. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Nothing that we can do to save ourselves, but the Lord Jesus Christ died on Calvary's cross for your sin and mine. And that night I heard that how by just asking the Lord Jesus Christ, confessing Him as Lord, confessing my sins, and asking Him to come into my heart and life, I can be saved. And that night, dear friends, the Lord really spoke to me. When can I be saved? When can I be saved? Romans chapter 10 and verse 13 says, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And that indicates to me that salvation is immediate. And our brother Vine, as he spoke the message of the gospel then, and it was probably about this time now, that he made a request and said to everybody in the meeting that night, if you feel that the Lord Jesus Christ is speaking to your heart, don't wait until the meeting's over. He said, come right up now. Confess the Lord Jesus Christ. Ask him to come into your heart and life, and he'll save you right here and now. You know, dear friends, I just felt that the Lord was working within my heart, and I felt a real burden on myself. But I also felt that it was something that I had to do, because the Spirit of God was speaking to me. And I stood up at the back of the hall and walked right up to the front, just about 7:30. And right there in the front of all the audience, I asked the Lord Jesus Christ to come into my heart and life. And you know something? For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And that was true. Because immediately I asked the Lord Jesus Christ to come into my heart and life, that burden, so to speak, just rolled away. And I walked back to my seat as if I was walking on air. But I praised God that night that he spoke to me. And I praise him that I heard his voice, and I took the opportunity to trust him there and then, and my name was recorded in heaven's book of life. And I thank God for that. I cannot say that my life has been perfect, or perhaps what he wants it to be, but he's been good to me, he's been faithful to me, and I can say that I'm looking forward one day to meeting him. And just pondering these verses this afternoon and talking about it, I was thinking about it in my mind, and about those three questions: why, how, and when. And I just got in front of the computer and I started writing down these verses, and you don't have to worry, it's not copyright, it's from my own pen. And this is what it says: why? Why did Jesus come to die for a sinner such as me? Why did he leave his home on high to suffer on the tree? How? How can I take him as my Lord and claim his promise given? My heart must yield the spoken word which writes my name in heaven. When? Just now the Savior will uphold my efforts, weak they be. He'll welcome me into his fold. Now is the time. Be free. And I trust if there's anybody in the meeting tonight, and you haven't trusted the Lord Jesus Christ as your own and personal Savior, dear friends, that's all it takes. To put your faith and trust in him. Ask him to come into your heart and life, and he'll do so now. May the Lord bless his word.